Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello! What's up, Goobers, and welcome to the MMQB NFL podcast. I'm Connor Orr. Albert Breer is here. I started calling my kids Goobers the other day, so I figured I'd let you guys in on it. We're here to talk schedule release preview, which, imagine that, 5 years ago in the NFL, that we would have an entire show devoted to guessing the order of the games that we already know what they are. The league has truly taken over. I was doing a little bit of research for a couple of pieces that I'm writing for the schedule release. Last year, the NFL had 92 of the 100 most popular television broadcasts. Do you think
what is that, 92 of the 100?
92 of the 100.
Okay, so you want, like, so if I had to guess what the others were, we can start our games here, right?
I don't know what the other ones are, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I know Macy's Day Parade.
So I would say the Macy's Day Parade.
New Year's Rockin' Eve.
You think so?
It was. Okay. New Year's Rockin' Eve ratings were up 36% last year, by the way.
The Grammys?
Maybe the Grammys. When Will Smith got slapped?
I'll say like three college football games and two NBA games, maybe something like that.
Right. It'd probably be like Ohio State, Michigan, and like.
Then the national title game, and then like. And then maybe like Auburn, Alabama, depending on the year. And like if there was like a game 7 in the NBA finals or something, right?
Right.
I mean, it is really insane how like nothing even comes close. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of gotten to the point where it's just like the NFL from a rating standpoint runs roughshod over everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and we're what, like 7 or 8 years, you know, separated from that Mark Cuban quote, which I don't think was like entirely wrong, but makes him look like a real moron now.
So this is an interesting place to start.
Yeah.
My thought process is, I wrote something a week ago about, you're a coffee drinker, right?
I have a coffee right here, Connor. How about that?
It's not leaking
either, which is a win. When you go to Dunkin' Donuts now, the cups are so crappy. I blame private equity. The cups are so crappy. And normally you'll have like, you know, like one of those, you get your cup and then you have like that one brown streak down and you know you're in trouble. And then the next time you go to pick up your coffee, it's like it's either gotten wider or there are multiple streaks down the side.
Yes. Are you like a Dunkin' a day guy at this point?
Yeah, I have at least two coffees a day. It's really bad.
Do you make them at home? Like, I never see with a homemade cup of coffee.
I don't. And I probably should. You know, there's this great. So I go to Dunkin' later in the day, generally. Earlier in the day, like now Mondays, the coffee shop in town, this place called Uncommon Ground, where they like, I mean, like my buddy who lives here, it was one of my fraternity brothers that kind of recruited me to the town that I live in now. He introduced me to this place. It's like this coffee shop. It's this great coffee shop that's like in the back of this building with no signage except for like one little sign that just says coffee on it.
Nice.
And they have phenomenal coffee and phenomenal muffins for the kids. It's like that's like all they do, right? Mm. Is coffee and like a few pastries. And it is like off the charts good. And if they like advertise their product a little bit more, then like they would probably crush it. But you know, I guess they're satisfied, and maybe I'll help them out here. They're right by the high school in Duxbury, Mass. it is the best coffee I've ever had. And, I get it every day. And, so like, that's part of my routine every morning is okay. I drop my oldest off at school, and then I pick up coffee for me and my wife and muffins for the two other kids.
All right. So the reason I ask is because we were gifted a Nespresso machine.
Yeah.
Last
you use
year.
It?
Yes, every day. Okay. And here's the thing. I started drinking coffee like 2 years ago. And
wow, that's a late start. See, I almost feel like that would be like someone who gets a tattoo at 40. You know what I mean? Like it's not something you kind of like something you don't do that late in life, you know?
Yeah. No,
and
I
so
was
now
definitely...
like now you have like the proverbial full sleeve and you're addicted and everything.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I've definitely got a problem, but the point is like I would drink anything initially because I had it and I was like, wow, like I get it. This is makes me, you know, wake me up and stuff like that. But now, like the Nespresso, it's interesting because this is like whatever. Probably some of the best consumer coffee in the world. If you read the package and like my wife and I were looking at it the other day and this single bean comes from the Congo and it's made by like these two guys who, you know, whose whole life story is on the package. And you're like, you know, and now I'm just like pounding that down like I would like 7-Eleven coffee and I'm not even thinking about it. Right. And it becomes something where, the first time you have it, you're like, my God, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life. And then as you get 3 or 4 months into it and you're not even thinking about it anymore, right? We become accustomed to things. So This year, when the NFL schedule comes out, if my calculations are correct, there's going to be a 10-day stretch around Christmas where there's only going to be, I think, 3 days. There's going to be 3 days.
Why'd you get the balloons there?
I don't know. Zoom. Yeah.
It happens to me every now and again, and it's like there's never any real explanation. It's like no one said congratulations to me or anything, yet there are balloons flying up by my head. I don't know.
Yeah. For those of you not watching on YouTube, I was just about to make a salient point, and then all these colorful balloons just come flying above my head. But there's going to be a 10-day stretch where I counted 3 days where there will not be NFL football. So I think it's something like Thursday goes into Saturday, goes into Sunday, goes into Monday, goes into Wednesday,
so it's like the
goes
pandemic
into Thursday.
Is back.
Right. And during the pandemic, great. I mean, I was looking forward to it because I hadn't left my house in a year and I was just so in desire to share a communal experience with someone. This year, you're pounding the schedule at the end of the year, point one. Point two, when everybody's fantasy football team season is over. Point three, where you're going to have to build in a Sunday to Wednesday swing for teams at the end of the year when everyone's hurt and banged up. This is going to be the test. This is going to be the saturation test. That's my thought.
So
if people stay on board with this, then the NFL is unstoppable.
Here's what bothers me about it is that like, I really, as somebody who like loves the sport, right? I feel like when you get closer to the end of the year, you should be doing less of this, not more, right? And if you look at like college football, for example, like as they get closer to the season, you see like the best teams, they aren't playing on Friday night or Thursday night for the most part. Now, maybe this will change with the SEC and the Big Ten becoming the AFC and the NFC now, but like they don't, you know, like the best teams in the country, like the real blue bloods, look at their November schedules. Like they're locked into playing on Saturday. And part of that is because, you know, like they can control their own schedules to a degree and they want to be in the best place to be performing at the highest level at the end of the year when the games are the most important. And so I bring that up because I think in this case, it's like, I wish the NFL would just prioritize the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, and I really think like when you get down to the end of the year, prioritize the level of competition that you're going to get. And I hate it because you know what it is? It's another thing where they're reaching for the fringe fan. They don't care about you or me. Like you or me might notice the level of play sucks, or that like this player isn't at his best, or that guy's not hurt.
Right.
What they're counting on is something that's sort of been proven true over the years, that like to some degree they're bulletproof, and you know the quality of play almost doesn't matter. You just put football on TV and it rates. You know, so like they. I think they've moved off that even being a concern for them. And I think the Christmas thing really crystallizes it because, look, they're not going to put bad teams on Christmas Day, right? They're charging Netflix, whatever, $100 million for that, right? So if you're asking for nine figures for those games on Christmas Day, you're not putting the Panthers on, right?
Right.
So by definition, then you're going to have four teams involved, and at least for right now. It doesn't always work out that way. You know, Christmas a couple of years ago, the Rams and Broncos looked great at the beginning of the year, and it was an awful game at the end of the year, right? So these things don't always work out, but their intention is going to be to put four very good teams on Christmas Day. So now those teams that are very good teams are going to be playing in week 15, 16, and 17, crucial weeks in the calendar, Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday. Does that give us the best level of play? Does that put those teams in position to be at their very best? Like, I don't think so at all, right?
No.
Like, if you were protecting the level of competition, you'd do the opposite of that. You'd say, okay, like, as we get close to the end of the year, put the teams on Sundays. So there's an equity in, amongst all of them. You know, and then, you know, we can flip that around and say now, going into the crucial week 18 games, it's going to go the other way, where you say, okay, those guys have those teams now have 11 days to prepare for a team that might be coming off of a short week, you know? So you have all of these inequities in the level of competition. And, and then you get to the playoffs, which, you know, looking at the playoffs, it's like you're going to have teams that maybe have tough decisions to make as far as playing guys in week 18 or not. It's just a mess. You know what I mean? Like, I just think like it's setting up so teams can't be at their very best at the end of the season and into the playoffs. It could create situations where players get hurt. This is a dumb question. At what point is the juice not worth the squeeze?
Right. So
never.
Well, I think that's the question, right? Yeah. And I do think that there's like a very corporate ethos to this where, and by the way, to complete my bad coffee analogy, you have Nespresso every day, you stop appreciating it.
Yeah.
Do you have the NFL 9 days right. out of 10 or whatever, do you stop appreciating it? But anyway.
And that's like, and by the way, like that is very much the, like, that is a huge reason why the NFL is as popular as it is. It asks, like in an ADD generation, it is asking less of all of us than any other sport.
100%.
And every game's an event, you know?
Right.
Part of the reason why baseball is dying is because, yeah, there are a lot of reasons, but part of the reason baseball is dying is because that sport, to truly follow that sport, that's a lot to ask of anybody.
You're right. But let's think about it this way, right? Mm-hmm. You're right. Is the juice worth the squeeze? So did you see that, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver?
Yeah.
He did this thing on like Dollar Tree and Dollar General, and essentially like their corporate model is like, we're only gonna have one person working in the store, the whole store, right? And so like the store looks
this giant store where the aisles are a disaster and there's
everything is caved in and there's one person working there, right?
Yeah.
And so but that's everywhere, right? Where it's like, oh, You clean the toilets. Can you also answer the phones? And can you do this? And can you do that? Like, everybody's looking to do that. Yeah. I feel like in a lot of ways, the NFL is trying to find that absolute like point on the X-axis where it's like, how hard can we ride these guys to the point where the product is tolerable enough to keep us getting the money that we're getting, right? And it's almost like a live experiment. And well, the only person that loses are the players, you know?
I wrote this in my column. It'd be a lot easier to swallow this if they were, I just feel like they were a little bit more honest about it. Right now, like, if people want to like look at the big picture of this, the 30,000 foot view is that Roger Goodell, you know, each of the commissioners, you know, in modern times, going back to Roselle, were put in place for a reason. Roselle was a carnival barker when the NFL needed promotion, right? Paul Tagliabue was a lawyer when the NFL needed labor peace. Roger Goodell is a guy who knows how to generate revenue streams. It's what he's really good at. It's what he was good at as COO. And as you saw teams evolving from mom and pop shops into these conglomerates that were owned by these captains of industry, the ethos of the league changed and became more about making money. There are owners I know for a fact that don't even really like football that much, that are in it because what other business could you buy where you'd be guaranteed the sort of appreciation a football team is going to give you, right?
Right.
So they, so he has this mandate to get to $25 billion in annual revenue, and he's inched closer and closer and closer. And that's what this is about. Like, this is about getting to that number. Like, you want to talk about like what's happened with NFL media and all the different things that they've done. I mean, I don't know, Connor, are they not operating like a board of directors that have shareholders to answer to?
Right.
It's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you talk about private equity getting, they're operating like, they operate like private equity already.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
so I would ask the fan here to think about this for a second, because the immediate response that we all get back normally when we write about this is, oh, boo-hoo, didn't care when they went to 17, not going to care when they go to 18, blah, right, blah, blah. But, you know, look at the, for example, you know, I was sitting in the NFLPA meeting when they released the report card together. Yep. Mm-hmm. There are teams that you have to share rooms on the road. And again, fans going to say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Well, your roommate snores. You sleep for 3 hours the night before the game. You're not properly rested. And then you get hurt
and
the next day.
And your entire like professional being rides on you being in the top possible condition for those 100%. 17 Sundays.
And then when you get home,
this is not you getting up for work on a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like,
and then after the game, there are teams that don't pay for the luggage service to have the plane already loaded. So you have 300-pound people sitting in coach, you know, waiting for the plane to take off for an hour with their joints swelling, right? You have when the staff is sitting in first class with all the legroom that they could possibly, you know, that they could possibly need. And then when you get home, I think it was, I counted this morning, 11 of the 32 teams had a C or below in terms of training recovery. Okay, so half of the teams don't have a natural grass playing surface. So all of that combined, and then you're asking them to play, oh, at the end of the year, Chiefs, could you do a quick Wednesday, Saturday swing for us there so we can pop you on Netflix on Christmas? And then you'll probably get hosed on the back end of it too while you're trying to three-peat for a title, you know, because we want Taylor Swift on Netflix or whatever's going to happen there. I mean, this is lunacy. Like, they're not taking care of the players, but they're demanding more and more and more. And the NFL should kind of, it should sidestep some of this a little bit.
I mean, unfortunately, the only thing that's going to stop it is like some action from the players. And they're not, I mean,
they're
just
not in the
shown,
position. Yeah.
Yeah. They're the, and one of the things that's fundamentally different than, you know, baseball or basketball or hockey even is that the rank and file in the NFL is making money that's not life-changing money, that's not guaranteed, in a sport that's going to, you know, wash 75% of them out within 2 years, you know? So you have a bunch of guys in the league, the bulk of the league consistently, year after year after year, is guys who are just trying to cash out what they can while they can, you know? And then the guys on the other end of the spectrum are just like, well, you know, I'm making my money, so don't want to rock the boat. You know, you don't have like a, there's not a strong like class of people that could take action against them. And I've said this all along, like I mean, think about it from this perspective. If they go to 18 games, right? So, like, if they go to 18 games, that will mean that each player has to make it through an extra half season from the 16-game model to make it to free agency.
Right.
Because that's 4 years, two games a year, 4 years, right? So you got to make it through another 8 games. So why don't the players go to the owners and say, like, we'll only do this if you get us the free agency after 3 years, right? I mean, there's all kinds of things. It's just, I don't know. Like, you do have to wonder when a firmer pushback is coming, because a lot of this is just, it feels like it's spiraled out of control. And they've almost got the players brainwashed to think, like, that, like, all this money is going to come back to them. No, like, some of it does, but it's incremental and it's small. And really, all the services is like, you know, so Junior can have a private jet like his dad's. You know what I mean? Like, so now the family has two of those instead of one. It's like the arms race with the super yachts, right? I mean, Google NFL owners super yachts. You'll see.
Have you ever been on one?
I've never been on a super yacht, no. Although there's a great story about Arthur Blank's party. Have I told you this?
No.
In Miami. So Arthur Blank had a Super Bowl party in Miami. His yacht is called Dreamboat, right? With the AMB capitalized, right? Those are his initials. So Dreamboat. Mm. And so he has this Super Bowl party, as a lot of owners do, on his yacht in some marina in Miami. And so when you get there, you got a pair of Toms, the shoes. And the reason why is because, and they ask you for your size with your RSVP. And the reason why is because he didn't want people marking up his boat. So, and Toms are non-marking shoes. So you got a free pair of shoes with the party invite in your size and everything else. So you wouldn't mark up his boat.
Oh. Well, that's just...
I haven't told you that one before.
No, that is so funny. Man.
True story.
100%. Do we know any, like, were there any, like, regular folks like us invited to that or no?
I don't know. I don't think so. I got that story from someone else, so I was not invited.
What would you do? Like, I remember when I worked for the NFL, being at the league meetings at the Biltmore in Arizona, which is like the nicest hotel in the world.
It's a nice hotel.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, there was like I walked out to my porch and there was just like a parrot there. And I just sat there for like an hour, just amazed. Like, it's just a wild parrot. Just a parrot.
The parrot was probably trained to hang out, right? Like, and not hurt you.
Maybe. I mean, it didn't attack, but I was just sitting there like, holy shit.
I mean, I wonder if maybe that's part of the ambiance there. So they train the parrots, right?
Maybe. But I just remember, and then there's this garden cocktail party with a fireworks display, and, you know, mm-hmm. you're walking around and there's like a buffet and like the commissioner's over there and all the GMs are there and the coaches are there. And I just remember, outside of, you know, the people that you bump into to do your job, you know, the people you're friendly with and you have those casual conversations. Like, if I was on Arthur Blank's yacht party boat thing, mm-hmm. like, who would I talk to? What would I talk to them about, you know?
Oh, you'd find some people. Like, you'd find some people. But it's definitely, there's a different standard, I'd say. But, like, that's the thing is that, like, that's where the money's going. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this is. Like, and that's just, it's, I mean, God bless America. That's what, you know, like, I mean, the business model is great and it works. But you do wonder, like, are we going to get, and it just sucks because I think it winds up hurting the game. Even if it doesn't show up in the bottom line, or in the ratings or whatever else, you know, I think it does ultimately, like, hurt the quality of the sport. And I don't think that ultimately the owners, the commissioner, I wouldn't say they don't care about that, but I think it's a secondary concern.
Do you think that the NFL feels in any meaningful way like, okay, now is our time. Live events are mm-hmm. profitable. They're desirable. Everybody wants it. We got to bang this thing for all it's worth right now. Because
the falls out.
Because eventually everything is cyclical, right? Baseball was unstoppable forever.
Yeah.
And it became like, I don't think that the NFL gets or will remain undefeated. You know what I mean?
I think it has advantages over other sports that are inherent that have nothing to do with anybody who owns a team or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's insulated by a couple things. I think it's insulated, one, by the scarcity. And this is where I think the argument against doing what they're doing comes in, right? Which is like, man, if you are going to keep jamming games into every day of the week, eventually, like, it's going to lose some of its appeal. Now, that hasn't happened yet. Maybe it'll never happen. But I do think that the scarcity of the product, the fact, again, for an ADD generation that I'm a part of, that, like, isn't willing to sit through 162 games of baseball, this is perfect, right? Like, it's once a week, every game's an event. Going into the games, like, it feels like an event when you're at the games. I also think the popularity of the sport at different levels insulates it. So college football, I'd say, might be the second most popular sport in America right now. I think it's probably past the NBA, you know, and Major League Baseball is number two. And then high school football in certain pockets of the country is really, really popular. So I think that insulates football too. I don't know, man. Like, I just think, like, I mean, I live in a baseball, what traditionally was a very strong baseball market. I never thought the Red Sox would be as relevant as they are now. The Patriots are so clearly number one. They were terrible last year. And they're still, you can still find a radio segment with the Celtics and Bruins in the playoffs every day of the week. And that's not in like a Chicago or a Cleveland or a Dallas where football's number one, you know? I just don't know what reverses this. I know you're saying it's cyclical, but what reverses this, you know?
Power slap. That, you know, the thing where the guys stand there and they slap each other in the face? Yeah. Did you ever watch that?
Power slap, yeah.
Power slap. No, you're yeah, right.
Well, I suddenly started thinking of Tyson Bagent's stab, but that was arm wrestling.
That was arm wrestling. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Maybe arm wrestling too.
So what we do know is that the Chiefs and the Ravens are going to kick off the season. Mm-hmm. My only takeaway there is I do think it's interesting that the Chiefs bullied Baltimore out of the playoffs last year, which is very uncharacteristic of the Ravens. I mean, they got legitimately shoved around almost in the way that the Titans did a few years ago when they knocked Baltimore out of the playoffs. Yep. They're really good. And now Baltimore obviously made a concerted effort this offseason to get tougher. And so that is a fun first game in terms of, you know, you have Lamar, you have Patrick Mahomes. Yep. I mean, obviously, you know, Taylor Swift is probably going to be there, you would assume. Do you think they're still going to
perform?
Do you think they're still going to be together?
That's a good question. It'd be risky to put her to get her to commit to performing, right? Because if things
go south,
then things could get awkward.
Do you
think she still go through with it, or does she wear Ravens gear onto the stage?
Oh, she starts dating like Mark Andrews. Is Mark Andrews single? I don't know. That's not fair to Mark Andrews. Sorry, Mark Andrews. You know,
I didn't know where you were going to go with that, but you went right to the tight end, and that would be really twisting the knife.
It is funny. Like, this is like a random non sequitur, but that the one reason you kind of feel like the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce thing isn't quite a setup is because, like, the tight end is like the fifth most exciting offensive position.
Right.
Like, ideally, you would have Taylor Swift dating like Justin Herbert or someone who was holding the ball in every play, and there'd be like these electric up and down moments, whatever. But like, it is hard to wedge. Like,
although does her age, did maybe her age limited the amount of choices they had? Because for people to buy it, it'd have to be somebody close in age, and there aren't that many people as old as her in the league.
How old is Taylor Swift?
Well, so, I mean, I feel like a jerk for knowing this, but like, she had that album, wasn't it 1989? So like, that was when she was born. So that would make her 35, right?
Oh, okay.
I'm a real expert over here. I'm good doing Emily proud.
All right.
Look it up. See if I'm right. I think it's 1989.
So, yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, I could see that. It would be, you know, Aaron Rodgers would be the only one quarterback-wise who I think is single at that age. But anyway, we've lost the plot a little bit
there. Right. And like, Aaron Rodgers, you'd have to, I mean, she would have to take back a lot of things that she's said in the past and a lot of causes she supported, I would think, right?
Like what? Yeah, or likewise.
Like, they, like I don't think yeah. I don't think they line up in certain ways, you know. So or she, you know, there could be some questions that be uncomfortable for the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a risky.
Because like would you be able to buy her dating like the 25-year-old quarterback? That'd be kind of hard to buy, right?
No. No.
Yeah.
And my point is, like, it is funny. So I did this story on Kelsey last year, and I talked to the sports and entertainment reporter at the New York Post, and that beat was essentially created. The New York Post was first, like, they had the first ever sports and entertainment crossover reporter. But when Kelsey and Taylor Swift came around, every outlet had some sort of a sports and entertainment crossover reporter. And, you know, the reporter Jenna was saying how unbelievable the traffic is. And she said, this is how crazy the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift thing is. People magazine is covering Travis Kelce as a football player on a down to down basis. So if you go to People magazine, there's just a headline that's like Travis Kelce caught four passes for 57 yards. That's
are they
it.
Gonna be, yeah, but are they going to be critical of him? Like if the wheels come off?
I mean, it is funny to imagine, like, you know,
or are they like the team website?
Like all of a sudden, like People magazine just starts criticizing Travis Kelce's blocking. It's like, yeah, you know, Travis Kelce's PFF run blocking grade dips to 39.7.
It's like
People magazine.
I don't know about this. Maybe she should take a look at Mark Andrews.
Travis Kelce was slow off the line this week. People.com spoke to several anonymous scouts on Twitter, and
I love their relationship, like, sources, right? Like, they've got how they characterize it. It's like an inside source, like in the family or something like that. Who would that be? Like, and if somebody wrote that about you, like, wouldn't you be like kind of like looking around the house and trying to find the mole?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think about that. Like, I always think whenever I write something that has somebody quoted, like, what was the big Trump thing? Do you remember when there was like the anonymous government official who wrote the first person piece for the New York Times, basically saying like, we're trying to stop this guy from burning the country down. And then he used the word lodestar, and then they found out who he was, I think, based on the obscurity of the word. And then, you know, they were like, all right, only like two of these weirdos actually say this. And then eventually they ended up weeding out whoever it was. It was somebody in the Department of Labor or whatever it was. And so, you know, I do always wonder that, like, if you're quoting
I can always tell, like, when somebody's got a BS source based on, like, I feel like after doing this for as long as I have, I've got an idea of how football people talk.
Right.
And so, like, I feel like I can sniff out sometimes when somebody's full of it, you know, in that way. I don't know.
It is funny sometimes when you're just like, you see like an anonymous AFC exec is like, this sucks. Yeah. This guy sucks. It's like, well, I don't know if you'd say that to anybody, especially one of us.
Well, I remember like during like the whole Trump thing in like 16 and 17, like someone who will remain nameless, like consistently had like executives saying like openly racist things. I'm like, I have a really hard time seeing them saying that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's just things that you wouldn't.
You wouldn't say to a reporter, probably.
Well, yeah, that, yeah, or type, or hopefully think. In general, so we have the opening game. You've done these stories in the past about how it comes together. A, enlighten us, and then B, the sub question to that is, do you think the process is changing? And maybe let's tackle that first, because last year to me felt like they were programming like a season of Love Island. Like it was we're gonna bang the hits, and a lot of teams got hosed, I felt like.
Yeah, so I think, like, I mean, one thing is, like, the guys who do it for the league office are legitimate, like, I mean, brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, this is so complicated. Mike North and Ani Bose and, you know, and obviously Howard Katz is sort of the godfather of the schedule. Like, the amount of masters they have to serve, you know?
Oh, I can't even
And,
imagine.
Like, the amount of complaints that get fielded and the things that they have to deal with, and teams have special requests. And so, you know, they've got, like, this supercomputer that spits out, like, I think the number's in six figures somewhere. Like, the amount of, like, schedules, and then, you know, they narrow that down. Here are some workable schedules, and then they go through those, and it's a complicated process. And I do, the computer does help them. Like, they always talk about, like, and, you know, Howard would talk about, like, the days when, you know, it was magnets on a board or whatever, the same way, like, your, you know, your favorite team would have, like, a strap board with magnets, and now it's all digital. You know, they have supercomputers that run algorithms and spit out different results, and, you know, and then they have to go through those, and some of the ones that are workable, they filter things, and it's like, okay, like, this doesn't work because of this, and this doesn't work because of that, and we don't want to put this team on the road 4 weeks in a row, so we can't do that. So, I mean, all of the little stuff you don't even think about, like, say, like, an AFC East team is playing, like, an NFC West, playing the NFC West 1 year, and the computer spits out, okay, like, let's just say it's like Buffalo, right? Like, so Buffalo is going to play the Rams and the Niners, and you have the schedule that's otherwise perfect, but it's asking the Bills to go and play in LA in week 5, and then in San Francisco in week 7. You can't do that. Like, that's not fair to the Bills, right? So you take that one and you throw it out, and there are all kinds of little things like that, you know? And as the NFL has gotten more aggressive about scheduling out of the country, which is definitely a factor, and scheduling in the middle of the week, which is a huge factor, you know, these things come up more and more often. You know, like, how do you schedule the London thing in, and how does a team want its run up to the London thing if they agreed to do it? And, you know, like, how do you kind of give, like, there are give backs for certain things. So if you do put a team on the road 3 weeks in a row, how do you kind of give back to them? So, I mean, this is like a months-long process, and they start it like legitimately the day after the season ends, when they know what the schedule is going to be. And I would say over the years, there's no question that the networks, as the price has escalated on what the networks are paying, it's gotten, I think, more and more complicated. Because, and here's why, because it used to be that it was almost like there was tiering to the pricing, like, for the rights, right? So let's just say, just to take numbers, let's say, like, it cost $20 for the $20 for the Sunday packages. It cost $25 to have Sunday night football, and it cost $15 to have Monday night, and then $10 to have Thursday night. Well, then you can justifiably say to the network that has the Monday night package, well, look, man, like, you paid a little bit less, so you're just not going to get as good a product, right? Like, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. But now the numbers have escalated to the point where they're all paying like an unbelievably huge amount. And that's changed the dynamic completely, because Amazon can look over at ESPN and say, well, we paid what ESPN paid. Why should we have a lesser schedule?
Right.
We paid what ESPN paid, so why do they get flex scheduling and we don't? Right?
Like, why do we keep getting Raiders games?
Right. Like, how come Jaguars Titans keeps landing on Thursdays?
On Thursday Night Football. Always on Thursday Night Football.
It is the Titans in the all turquoise.
Yes, the color. I was just about to say that. Yeah. Color Rush Titans Jaguars is like if the world ended tomorrow and someone in the afterlife was like, define Thursday Night Football. Yeah. It's like Blake Bortles, Ryan Tannehill, and just the most intense, like, neon version of their jerseys. And they'd be like, wow, you lived in quite a time, Connor. And I'd say, yeah, yes, I did.
Color Rush is one of those things that you didn't know you'd miss until it was gone. But
do you remember I think I covered it in person. Do you remember the
so ridiculous the game? Special Thursday uniforms. Remember the Bucks ones were like just a brighter shade of red? And like, it was like this. I don't know, like, look up the Bucks Color Rush uniforms. Like, you know, like, the Bucks are kind of like a, almost like a little bit of a dull red, right?
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden they come out, they're wearing like
turn
fire
it up
engine.
To 11.
They're like wearing like fire engine red. The Rams had the all yellow uniforms. You remember those?
Oh my God. The worst one though was the game where like no color.
Oh, the Seahawks.
Well, there was the one where no colorblind person could delineate. Because both
Bills
of the
Jets, right? Wasn't it Bills Jets? Because one was wearing all blue, all red, and one was wearing all green. The Bills were wearing all red, and the Jets were wearing all green.
And everyone was like, holy.
To a lot of us, it looked like Christmas. To the colorblind people, you couldn't tell which was which.
It looked like a.
And they had white. They both had white helmets, too.
Yes. So yeah. It just looked like everyone was like, what is happening? I'm a. I have a lot of fair-eyed people in my family, so there is a lot of color, you know, some degree of color blindness, and God, color rush, man. NFL again, season is right around the corner, but to
I legitimately miss color rush now. Hard to believe that's where we've gotten, but I do miss color rush.
It's like a weird hangover that you didn't think you'd want to have again, and here we are.
It's an easy target. It's just an easy target. It was just a lot of content.
To your point, right? Like all these places are paying a large sum of money, and last year was the first year where I was like, okay, so the Jets had 6 standalone games last year.
Yeah.
The Giants had like a crazy adverse rest differential. Like, and whenever you program a schedule with pacifying all the networks and the streamers, like the side effect there is going to be the quality, I feel like, you know?
Right. And the Thursday night thing was interesting too, because like for a while, like those games were on NFL Network, right? Most of them were. And the league was just like, okay, like, well, the only reason we care about having these games on NFL Network is so people will subscribe to the network when, you know, they're on a pay tier. And so we'll just take the bullet and just put crappy games on there, right? Well, now, if you have somebody else paying for it, they're not going to be as willing to accept that. And again, to take the analogy to another level, if it's $25 for Sunday Night Football, $20 for a Sunday package, $15 for Monday night, and $10 for Thursday night, the dynamic's going to be a lot different than if everybody's paying $25. You know, so I just think I sort of wonder with everything that's gone on how close we are to the bread and butter 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock windows being wrecked.
Right.
You know, like that. I've actually heard, Connor, I'm sure you've heard this too. That's why they wouldn't do 2 bye weeks. The reason they wouldn't do 2 bye weeks, because it seems like it might make sense for the league to stretch the year out for another week. Well, what I've heard is the networks have said no to that because it will further dilute the product. Because if you have to fit 2 bye weeks in for every team, well, now you've got this product that's already stretched thin by all the weekday games and everything else and the holiday games. And so what's that going to do to Sunday when you've got to fit 2 bye weeks in for every team over the course of the year?
When we had our...
So that's the networks driving that. And, you know, everybody's got somebody that they answer to, even the NFL. The NFL answers to the networks.
When we had our staff meeting the other day, Matt Verame brought that up. He was like, what's left for 1 o'clock on Sunday? And it hit me. And yeah. I was like, God, poor Spiro Dides getting the third game for CBS on a Sunday. And it's like, it's going to be like the Jets versus Leeds United. Like, it's not even going to be like a real opponent at some point. These games are just because you have this thing where all the primetime stuff gets sucked out. It's like the best prize in the claw machine. And then it constantly is getting extracted to the, you know,
especially late in the year and when there's flex scheduling involved.
And you rob, not that you care, because this is all about streaming and TV and people sitting on their couches, but 1 o'clock Sunday.
Yep.
Is the best live game window in sports. You get to show up at 7 a.m. and start drinking and eating breakfast food with alcohol, which is like one of my favorite, used to be
I was huge in that. And where I went to school is massive on the whole kegs and eggs thing. Yeah.
We did, we did nachos in the morning and then we played speedball.
Nachos would be a good... I haven't done that, but nachos would be a good breakfast food if you were drinking, yeah.
Yeah. And then, did you ever play speedball?
No.
Speedball is... So you set it up like a pong table, but instead, on the corners of each table is your beer, okay? Yep. And so...
So 4 corners, 4 beers.
4 corners, 4 beers, okay?
Okay.
And you throw your ping pong ball at the beer cans on the opposite end.
So the opposite corner.
Yes. No, you can do it either corner. But okay. The goal is you want to hit the can and then you...
So it's a can, not a cup.
Yeah, it's a can. You need
it's
a
not
can.
Like a solo cup. Okay.
Has to be a can.
And it's full.
And so the goal is as soon as that ping pong ball hits the can, you start chugging and then... while the person scrambles to pick up the ball and slap it back on the table, and then you have to stop drinking, right? And then the goal is the team who finishes their alcohol first wins. So okay. You are just rapid fire chugging beer all morning. That's what we did. We did nachos and we did speedball.
Speedballs, yeah. And so that accelerates the process. That's like we had our game, which was how drunk can you get in 15 minutes, where you just, and this is like way more barbaric than that, but it's just you leave the, you open the keg, like you just have like the keg tap going and you have like four people around the keg and you're just passing it around and you just flip it so you never turn it off. So you're just drinking as fast as you can and like making sure your cup doesn't overflow. That was a good way to get a Saturday started.
And Syracuse is always, because, I mean, you went to a good football school. Although you guys had big noon kickoff. We were always at noon on, like, no, ESPN4, you know?
I mean, yeah, when I was there, no, because that didn't exist when I was there. When I was there, like, if we were a big game, we would be on either primetime or 3:30. Except for Michigan. Michigan was always at noon. But
I'd be dead.
And also, Ohio State wasn't very good when I was there, believe it or not. I was there for the worst three-year stretch. My freshman year, we were awesome, number one in the country. My sophomore, junior, and senior year was the worst three-year stretch of like the last 50 years, believe it or not. It was 6-6, 8-4, 7-5. Cooper got fired after the second of those years. And then I graduated in August of 2002, and they won the national title.
Syracuse would have given Greg Robinson an extension if he had that record. God rest his soul. Greg Robinson was a good person. But
I miss Greg Robinson being the defensive coordinator at Michigan. That was a good time.
So what do you expect? I mean, we are days away now, and you know, if you're listening to this on Monday, like, do you think when we're talking next Monday, are we saying, oh my God, this thing is untenable? Do you think that they hurt us last year, us being the teams especially? Because we're kind of echoing some of these coaches, right? Do you think that they hurt from them? What is your guess?
This is my guess, because this is like the one thing. I do not do a lot of reporting on this until, like, I don't make calls like 2 weeks ahead of it or whatever. Like, I don't do that. Like, just because, I mean, it's after the draft and it's kind of like, I just think it's like one of the least relevant things we do is the schedule release. But, you know, like I do like make, you know, I'll make some calls this week and everything else. And, you know, I think one thing, this is a guess. I think people might be a little taken aback by the amount of ORs there are in the schedule. Not your last name, OR, you know, OR, not ORR. The amount of ORs there are in the schedule where it's like, This or this, because I think I almost feel like they have to build that flexibility in now. And so, like, I think you're going to see a lot of like the Saturdays late in the year and whatever it is that have flexibility built into the schedule. And again, I think that's about appeasing the broadcast partners and trying to make sure they don't wind up with, again, the proverbial Broncos, Rams, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield game on Christmas Day of 2022, right? Like, I think they're going to try to do everything they can to avoid that sort of scenario. Now, they won't be able to do it on Christmas Day if they have any semblance of integrity, because you're not going to do that to teams on a Wednesday. Keep like eight teams alive, you know, to play on Christmas Day. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think there are going to be a lot of like ors, this or this on the schedule. You know, obviously, I think one thing that people don't pay enough attention to is the sweeps in November, which obviously dictates a lot when it comes to advertising rates. And I won't bore people with the ins and outs of that. But, you know, generally, you'll see a few weeks that are relatively loaded because of sweeps in November. I also kind of feel like the Jets are going to get an opening weekend primetime game. Don't you?
Yes. You called it. And then
I said that last week, and I just feel like, I don't know.
As soon as you spoke that into existence, I felt like, like that's it. I mean, you said, I don't know what team you said. I said Jets Broncos, because then you stick Bo Nix.
Yeah, I don't know what I had. Time, I can't remember.
You know, against that defense.
Yeah, I have to look it up. I got to look at the Jets schedule again. I'm going to pull it up here. Hold on.
Classic one would be like Jets Bills. It would be like Jets, you know, maybe Jets Dolphins.
I mean, do you put the Patriots in that slot?
No,
but then if Drake May is not starting, then like that's a really bad opponent. So I'm looking at what they have at home. Jets Rams would be interesting, wouldn't it? No. The one I had was Jets Texans.
Are you Jets Texans?
I had Jets Texans because I think the Texans are a team that the league probably, I think the league would want to elevate them, right? Like, hey, like this is a team. I bet like we're gonna see some people sneak a Texans Super Bowl picks in there. They're gonna be that team like where if you want to be, you know, I always think of this like from my childhood, the 95 Browns. Like, you, like a lot of people who are younger, I don't know, you may remember this, but the Browns had come off of under Bill Belichick, breakthrough 1994 season. They went and signed Andre Rison, and they were a huge deal going into 1995. And I believe, and we can look this up in our archives, I believe Sports Illustrated picked them to get to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
It was a big deal. So I always think of like the 95 Browns as like the barometer for the, you know, like the pick if you want to be a little bit different, you know? And I think SI was like, Dr. Z, I think, was always really good at that. He would pick kind of this team. It's like, oh, I didn't think about that. But yeah, they could get there theoretically, you know, if you wanted to go against chalk. So I think our 95 Browns for this year would be the Texans, right? Like if you want to be a little different, if you want to go against chalk, you could get yourself to a point where you're thinking about it. You're like, Texans are pretty good. They could get home field playing in that division, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Chiefs have a couple injuries. I don't know, CJ Stroud gets hot at the end of the year. So, like, I think the Texans become that team that, like, maybe the NFL wants to introduce to the casual fan early in the year, right?
I like that. Oh.
Jets Texans week one.
All right. I'm going Jets Broncos. We got
You'd have like and the spread in age between the quarterbacks in that one would be fun too.
TV
loves
CJ,
that. I think
when
CJ 22.
Stroud was born, Aaron Rodgers was 20, you know, like the Tom Brady thing, now that they can't do that with Tom Brady.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers has like by default become that guy now, right?
Aaron Rodgers was a sophomore in high school when CJ
CJ Stroud was born in October of 2001, which I think that would have been Aaron Rodgers' senior year in high school. So there you go.
Man. And look at Aaron Rodgers now running for president.
Vice president.
Vice president. All right. Well, call us right, call us wrong. We're going to I'm sticking with Jets Broncos just because I love it. Broncos are going to be tough.
So I'll go the Monday night. So we're going to guess the primetime games now.
Let's guess them.
What do we have left? Because like Thursday night set, Friday night set. So we're guessing Sunday and Monday.
And Monday.
Okay. I will go Jets Texans Monday night. I will go Giants Cowboys Sunday night.
Ah, really?
Because they always do it, right? Like, look at the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Let me mix that up. Let's go Eagles-Cowboys Sunday night.
Well, Eagles are playing on Friday.
Oh, right. So it can't be. So Giants-Cowboys, yeah.
Giants-Cowboys.
I'll revert to Giants-Cowboys.
All right. I'm going, let's do 49ers-Rams. You want to do a 49ers-Rams game?
I like it, yeah.
On Sunday night, so that Chris Collinsworth can go out and hang out in L.A. for a couple nights and chill out.
Okay. Are we guessing the site of these games, too? Might as well, right?
All right, let's do... Yeah,
I'll say the game's in Dallas. I'll say the game... like Cowboys-Giants in Dallas.
I'm going to do 49ers-Rams at SoFi.
Okay.
And then...
Jets-Broncos?
Jets Broncos Monday. Yeah. Okay. So Jets Broncos
Nathaniel
Monday.
Nathaniel Hackett revenge game. And then I'll have the Jets and the Jets and Texans at MetLife.
Either way, I'll see it at MetLife. How about that?
There you go.
There
you go.
All right, guys. We will talk to you on Tuesday, Gilberto.
And we'll have results.
And we'll have some results
on Tuesday of the results of the of our big contest here.
I wish I had the schedule, just so I could like, you know, so I didn't have to care about it. You know, like I just had it sitting here. You know.
Well, we just, you know, you do know, like we just spent an hour playing right into their hands too.
I know.
Like complaining about like how they make the big deal out of the schedule release, and which we already know the opponents. We just, and then we just did a full show on the schedule release. So
I can't I can't break free. Man.
Damn it.
All right. Well, we'll try again next week, Albert. We'll do some anti-NFL programming. Be on the lookout for Matt and Gilberto. Everyone's back and rolling. And thanks as always for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.